Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the beloved disciple, the Apostle John, does in principle what Matthew and Luke do in narrative, if you think about it. When we gather on Christmas Eve, we often hear from Luke, we often hear from Matthew, and we hear the birth of Jesus told in story. We hear about angels in a manger, and we hear about animals and shepherds tending flocks in a field. John takes a different approach. He takes that narrative and turns it into principle or truth or explanation that we can understand. He interprets the story for us. So we want to look at John and hear again what he says as we celebrate Christmas. What is the meaning of this great event that has occurred? This Christ, the Lord, coming into the world to save us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Thank you, Richard. In the beginning, in arche, we hear there the same words that we would hear in Genesis. Why is that so important to understand? Because it was in that moment that God created humanity. And it's in this moment that God is creating humanity anew, that we are being recreated, as Paul would say later, that we're being created in Christ Jesus for good works, that new birth is coming to us, new life is coming to us. What has reigned, what has ruled, no longer reigns or rules. God is coming into the world to redeem a broken and sinful humanity in the beginning, just as it starts in Genesis. And there in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This word, how are we to understand it? The word logos, of course, it is to the Greeks the organizing principle of the world, and so it bears some meaning in that regard. But more importantly here, it was the word with which God used to speak us into creation, to create the world, to create us as human beings. This word could be translated God in action. And so God is acting again in the Word. He is coming into the world. The Word with which He created us the first time, He creates us yet again. And the Word was God. Equality with Him was something that was to be laid down, as we're told by Paul in Philippians. He was with God in the beginning, so there was not a time that He wasn't. God is eternal. This Word, Jesus, is eternal. There wasn't a time when He was not, and so we can rely upon Him to be creator, not created beings like we ourselves, and thus limited and finite. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made and has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Some of your translations may say has not overcome it or comprehended it. What we are being told is there that in Jesus comes this great light, and that the light is more powerful than the darkness, something we always want to remember. Light from a candle can scatter darkness in an entire room. Light has the ability to do that. It is far more powerful than the dark, and this light is coming into the world in Jesus. And whatever darkness is within our world, whatever darkness is within us, can be scattered by this light. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And so this light, this spiritual illumination that we need to be the beings that we were created to be, is coming into the world in Christ Jesus. And John the Baptist, that we recognize from the story and the details become clearer as the gospel goes along, is not the light. He bears witness to the light, and that's his only purpose. And why does he do it? That we might believe. That we might believe. Do we believe? Have we accepted this gift that God has given us at Christmas? Do we see the light being the source of scattering our darkness in our world and within us? He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's probably one of the central themes of Matthew and Luke. We hear Jesus tell, even in the parable of the mustard seed, how things begin small and end grand. And as much as he was explaining a lifelong principle to the disciples, he was explaining why the gospel didn't take root immediately. Why so many people rejected Jesus. Why weren't they all getting on this bandwagon? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The story, again, of rejection. The story of us not making room for him in our lives. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is the story of Christmas, isn't it? That God entered into our world, born in a place where there was even no room in an inn, caused him to be born in a stable, to be placed in a manger, a feed trough of common animals. And thus he became the Savior of the world. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born removed from us. It was God's decision to enter into our world that caused him to be born in such a place and to become the Savior of every man. And through that gift, we have the privilege, the right to become children of God. To become children of God. Paul would use language later that it was one of adoption. And adoption is different from bearing children, isn't it? Of natural descent or a human decision or a husband's will. Often children are born of passion. But when one adopts, one chooses to make one a part of his or her life. My oldest, Mary Elizabeth, is adopted, and it took great effort to do that and much preparation and qualification to claim her as a daughter, for her to be able to call me a dad. It was a choice, a decision, and that's what we're hearing God act out in the Christmas narrative. That's what John is trying to explain to us, that God wants to adopt us. He wants the fatherless to have children. He wants those of us who are alone in the world to have a parent, to care for them, to love them. Are we one of them? Do we want to receive this gift that God has given us in Jesus? This great gift that God has given us. Far too often, we number ourselves among those who don't recognize him, those who did not receive him. That's not where God wants us to be. He gives us again this gift, calling us, drawing us near to him as he draws near to us. Won't we say yes to the present? Won't we open it and make this year different than all other years? If we've never given our lives to Christ, to give it to him fully and completely this year. And if we have, to give it to him again. To submit to the King. To say, I will be your servant. And you will be my God.